The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Welcome in. Happy Monday. There are jokes to be made this morning. Remember the other day when we joked on Friday going into the Suns and Kings big game? We said, is it a must win? Well, I mean, we'll all be here on Monday. I mean, nobody's going to have the unthinkable. And it's like, well, guess who's not here? Everything's fine with Carmichael Dave. He's having one of those mornings, though. Case of the Mondays.
Yeah, yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. Simone is here.
I'm here. This is the real special A-team you have behind the glass for you this morning.
Very true.
Very confident.
Simone is a gamer. Simone was at the game yesterday. Simone is here this morning. Everyone else leaves, abandoned us. But Simone, the true rock star, is like, you know, I'm coming in. She didn't even have to be here. She just volunteered her time.
That's all I do.
Yes. How are you, Simone?
I'm great. I am grateful that game was so early. It was kind of strange to be there that early yesterday, but I mean, good vibes. It kind of felt like last day of school, but it was very exciting.
I don't know if I know the answer to this question, so sometimes it's unfair to ask a question that I'm not sure if you know the answer, but the beam was lit, which was fantastic.
Yes.
It's cool to see Vivek and C Webb. Was Jason Derulo down there as well?
Okay, he was.
So the three best
beam.
Friends that anyone has ever had got together, lit the beam.
Yes.
Awesome. Love it. Love that tradition. I hope it's not the last beam we see. But it was daylight ish.
Yes.
I mean, it was overcast. I drove away. I didn't even think about seeing the beam until just now. Was it visible?
It was visible. I mean, later that
evening.
Sure. Yeah.
But in the afternoon, did you see it when you left?
No. You know, funny story, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the first ever beam was also a day game on a Sunday, and I had no idea what they were doing. They had said, like, okay, like, drop it down, did the whole
it's a little different
ceremony.
Then.
Yeah, first one ever, and I just remember thinking, what the heck did they just do?
Yeah.
And didn't realize until later that there's a big, beautiful purple beam in the sky.
And, you know, here we are. They play 82 to decide this whole thing, and we haven't decided it. We've got another game. It's not a playoff game. It's a play-in game. It's not a regular season game. It's the Warriors. Of course it is. My goodness, we will be talking about that today. The 9 versus 10 when we were here a year ago at this time, these two teams just about the same record, and it was 3 versus 6. How the West has changed. How the West was won by OKC. We will discuss all that and much more today. Jason Ross here with you. Simone here with you. And we appreciate all of you checking us out on YouTube. Good morning to you. You guys are up early and ready to roll because it's Kings and Warriors tomorrow. So today on the show, we will be talking about this with our very own Sactown Sports Insider, Frankie Cardicelli, who will join us at 9 o'clock. Also, from the Warriors perspective, former Sactown Sports, well, I guess he was either Sports 1140 host, John Dickinson, now working in the Bay Area for many years, has covered the Warriors, Kings, everything Bay Area sports and Northern California sports, will join us at 8:30 to talk a lot about the Warriors because he has watched all of their games as well and get a little perspective on that because tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Kings and Warriors, winner is alive, has a chance at another game, loser goes home. And there's so much I've seen after the game yesterday for people. I can't handle losing to the Warriors. There's that group, and there's others. There would be nothing better than sending them home. So there's kind of no in-between. That's what's at stake. And the play-in game, for those of you that are anti-play-in game, I think right now is the important reminder to let you know, without a play-in game, the Lakers' win yesterday would have eliminated the Sacramento Kings. So we would not be here. We'd be lamenting a lost opportunity season, which we still may get to, But at this point, that none of that's the Charlotte losses, the Portland losses, the 20-point lead. Those don't matter. It doesn't matter today. It may matter after tomorrow. It may matter after Friday. It may matter later. But right now, it's all about zeroing in, focusing in on the Warriors. So we're going to get to a lot of that today. All our normal things, except for nothing today seems to be normal, Simone. We're trying to get into our, you know, our format for the show. It's, it's for whatever reason, not working. We've got a case of the Mondays, though. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
We're ready to go.
I definitely was. I'm still excited, but I just don't want to let the people of Sacramento down. You know, they come here expecting you and the best of David, and now they just get a little bit of me. And
no, it's not that. They are ready to celebrate today. They are going to get a treat. This is going to be a special show. It's tax day. Have you done your taxes?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at this point, if I said you said no, I'd be a little worried.
Yeah.
I mean, have you turned them in?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
No, that's okay if you didn't. Mine are literally sitting in my car, ready to go to the post office, which they just have to be postmarked by today.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. When they want your money, I'm going to let you wait to get my money.
Yeah. Not the case for me. I definitely get a little bit back.
Then, yeah, if that's the case, like, get those things in. Pay me. So interesting weekend to say the least here on the Open, where I know we kind of go around and talk about a few different things. I would say for me, very emotional and special weekend, because I missed the game Friday, which doesn't happen very often. Had to attend a celebration of life, which those aren't necessarily good circumstances. It was to honor someone that has gone way too early, but for me and our family, it's someone very near and dear and special. There can't be anyone more special in your life than the person that literally saved someone in your life's life, which was our son. Our son had been very sick when he was born. If those of you don't know the story, I'll do a quick recap. He had leukemia, was born with leukemia, and had chemotherapy by a few hours in his life. Day one, day two, we weren't sure he was going to make it. Jackson's a little fighter. He made it through. Celebrate. We're so happy. But doctor's appointments, follow-ups, blah, 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 blah. So he's doing great. Now Jackson's growing up, as he normally would. Then he gets to be 7 years old, and little fella picks up another version of leukemia. And this time, he's not doing as well with the treatment and the chemo and radiation and so on and so forth. So we have to find out he's got to get a bone marrow transplant. Odds aren't looking good that we'll find a match, but we were fortunate. Found a match. We went through that process, which was daunting for him, certainly, everything he had to go through. We didn't meet the donor. Sometimes it's federal law. You can't meet them for at least a year, and a lot of times the donors just do it anonymously out of good nature and never meet the people, which we were really hoping we could meet this person, and we did. And once we did years ago, he's part of the family forever, his family. But tragically, this last year, he passed away. And so, long story short, it was a tribute to him and his life and what he meant. And, I mean, again, what do you say to the person that saved your son's life besides, you know, thank you and all that stuff? And Simone, they asked me, the daughter, there's three kids. One of the daughters, same age as my son. She's had to grow up way too fast. She's kind of hosting this thing, and you're just going, man, the kids are amazing. And she asked if I would speak, and I said, yeah, absolutely. I want to. This is an incredible honor. I need to. And I got up there, and I went, and I was just a puddle. I was a mess. I was ready. I thought I would be great, and it was one of those things that my wife said it was awesome, but I went, I did not say what I wanted to say in the way I wanted to say it. They said, no, it was heartfelt. It meant, and I go,
of course.
But you don't know how you're going to do it. And I guess I got through, but I was hoping for funny, for important, poignant, all of it. And
I bet you
a lot
checked,
of it sounded like
I bet you checked
this.
All of those boxes, and it was just sentimental and vulnerable. And
it was all that.
It was incredible to
for
see,
sure.
too.
It was definitely for sure that. But so it was incredible. It was also at the same time, every sorts of emotion. So we have to drive up. It was in Oregon, drive up there. So Friday, the family, the three of us, of course, our son, he's got to be there. I mean, he's like a featured player in this. And we're listening to the broadcast the entire way. And it's like, you know, I sit there next to G-Man in every game, mm-hmm. and he's awesome.
Yeah.
But there was something different sitting in the car, listening through the app to hear him and Henry and Deuce, and just
were
the whole.
Still having your habits.
I know,
I sit pretty closely to you guys too, and I see the way that you guys exchange notes. The way that you help him and support him.
So. Yeah, there'd be little things where he'd say something like, "Oh, because Scott Marsh was doing stats." I go, "Oh, Scott probably handed him that stat." And my wife's like, "I don't care about this play-by-play that you're giving me of the play-by-play." Anyway, we get there and we know that the game's on NBA TV, but there's like 4 minutes left and we're sitting at the hotel parking lot there in Portland and it's looking good at the moment for the Kings. And I'm like, I want to go in to watch the rest, but I also don't know if they have NBA TV. I'm like, we're just sitting here. And it's like, the Kings are going to win. The Kings are going to beat Phoenix. Uh-oh, it's getting a little, but they're going to win. I mean, there's not a 7-point, like Keegan hit a three. And the stuff that was said in the car, not safe for radio, but I was like, oh, I was so happy. It's like, that's it. That I wanted to be there. I'm like, this is the moment. I feel like that knocked him out. And then, oh, okay, bucket here. It's five. It's, oh my gosh, Sabonis just threw the ball away. It's, oh no, they fouled. It's tied. Okay. Oh no, they fouled Nurkic. Wait, they haven't missed a free throw all night. He missed the first one. I'm going, crumble cookies, crumble cookies, crumble cookies. He made the second. And then I'm like, okay. They're going to find a way. And I remember having my hands in my head in the parking lot, just sitting there going, all right, De'Aaron's going to win it. De'Aaron's going to win it. De'Aaron's going to win it. De'Aaron got the ball. I've now since seen the play, which I'm not a big fan of. I know he said he got fouled, but that was awful.
It was awful.
And I was obviously not there. I could feel the pain of the arena through the – was that really like a gut
back
punch?
Breaker. I wasn't there either.
I was watching.
I was also watching at home. I know there was a lot of us sporty 1140 people out that day, but an absolute backbreaker. I was devastated. I guess I was craving those. We really haven't had too many of those De'Aaron Fox, like, little buzzer beaters that we were so fortunate to receive last year. And I really thought we were going to be served up a nice platter. And it was just an absolute backbreaker.
Yeah. And you just go, what just happened? What did we see? What did I hear? What was going to be the case? Now we know they're a lot. The Kings came back. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about the game yesterday, though that feels kind of irrelevant at this time. And Portland literally had players out there. It might have been guys I brought back with me from Oregon. I don't even know who those guys were yesterday playing.
I can't believe you were in Oregon. That's my hometown. That's my native land.
What part of Oregon?
Portland.
Oh, Portland. Okay.
City of Roses.
That's your hometown?
Yeah, that's where I was born, but
I
no.
I know this. Well, I wasn't quite in Portland. We went to Bend.
So, that's a few hours out.
Yeah, inland a little bit from Portland, but also on the way home, by the way, so it was, I mean, literally drive up there Friday, attend the services, everything Saturday, drive back Saturday, and we were still on, what is that road, 97, trying to get back to California. We're not even to, like, Klamath Falls, almost that way. And Simone, literally the loudest rain slash hail snow for about 6 minutes. And it literally, I mean, people have been in probably that kind of loud, in our car, we're just in a regular sedan or whatever. It sounded like people were throwing rocks at our car.
No.
And just going, listen to this. It was so loud.
You guys powered through? You didn't like, I'm pulling over.
Well, you could tell, I mean, it was also one of those things where there were still like parts of blue sky in the horizon. And like, you knew it wasn't going to last long, but also like, do we stop? Is this going to end in 30 seconds or in an hour? We didn't know.
Right.
And it was one of those things where everybody's just flying, and then all of a sudden it got a lot slower. And if you got out of the tire track grooves of the car in front of you, rah, 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 I'm like, okay, let's just, I'm staying in these
gnarly,
these tire lines of the car in front of me. And made it home safely, made it back for the game yesterday. And here we are, the Kings and, of course, the Golden State Warriors in a weird situation. It's not a regular season game. It's not a playoff game. And the Kings lot, again, if you look, small part, you're like, yeah, I don't want to lose to the Warriors. Yeah, it'd be great to beat the Warriors. But even Tuesday, if you get that thrill of victory, which would be great, you still have to win again on Friday. And that waiting for you is either the team you have not had a clue how to beat, the Pelicans, or the Lakers, who that sounds exciting, but are you going to beat them again? Maybe. Either way, it's on the road. But tomorrow's at home. We're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss the weekend. We're going to discuss the season. Again, Frankie Cardicelli joins us at 9, John Dickinson at 8, Safer out, 3 for Madness, who's hot, what's not, all that kind of, or who's not. We got streaking. We go look back at 3 in the Key, celebrity birthdays, all that and more. Jason, Simone, here on a Monday with you on Sacktown Sports.
Final seconds tick away. The 39th year of the Sacramento Kings in California has come to conclusion. Hall of Famer-to-be Chauncey Billups embraces Mike Brown as the final score is 121-82 in favor of Sacramento.
Yeah, there were years that 46 wins, 36 losses would be joyous in this town. And, you know, one of the debates I've had with Dave himself and others are expectations are different. And I said, well, they might be, but I guess my expectations are regular season irrelevant, if that makes sense. To me, this whole season, for me, and I think based on what Monty and Mike Brown and probably some of the players felt last year, had absolutely nothing to do with the regular season. Now, that doesn't mean the regular season wasn't important. That's far from the case. But their goal was to get farther along than the first round. So if the Kings were the one seed today, if they're the 10 seed, which they're ninth, none of that really dictated whether or not they got through the first round or not. Now, being 7, 8, 9, or 10 means you're not in yet, and so they still have to work. Now, they weren't 11, 12, 13, 14, or 15, so they have an opportunity. But my point being is I don't know. I didn't feel like there was expectation difference in the regular season. I didn't care if the Kings won. Well, I always want them to win every game, but if they were had a better record than Boston right now, let's say, and they were the one seed, we'd feel really good about them, probably think they would beat the 8 seed. But what if they didn't? I mean, Boston, in reality, could get Miami or Philly. I think they'll win, but I think that's a pain in the butt first-round series. So if Boston, let's say, were to lose somehow, some way in the first round, how do you think they feel about their season? So to me, all of this was dictated on whether or not they could get through the first round. The path will be way more difficult for the Kings. There's no guarantee they get past tomorrow. But even if they do, then they've got to get past Friday. Then you're in the tournament. Now, if they can do the first two parts, the fact that OKC is number one is the exact team I want them to play. Now, can they beat the Warriors? Can they beat the Lakers/Pelicans? To be determined. But the Kings could have done better all through the regular season. That could have had impact on this. The irony of all of this is we wanted them to be 7 or 8. I did once we kind of figured out where their lot was. But if they were in that spot and they won that 7-8 game, they would play Denver. Personally, I would root my you-know-what off for the Kings. I don't think they would beat Denver. I don't think so. I could be wrong on that. We won't know, at least at this point. If they meet later, wow, what a postseason run the Kings are going to have. So yesterday ended the regular season. 46 wins, 36 losses, game 82. Simone, you were there. It was a win. To me, it was a weird game, too, in a sense, like, after about 7 minutes in the first quarter, it felt like it was over.
Yes.
And then it was just, okay, come on, Pelicans. Come on, Pelicans. Hey, it's down to 15. It's back up to 24. It looks like, oh my gosh, we're playing the Warrior. Like it was a weird day of scoreboard watching and none of it became too eventful.
Yeah, shout out to the in-game experience and all the curators over at the Sacramento Kings because it was really nice to be able to have the ability to track and everyone was so informed and trying to, you know, keep up the pace with what's going on. But yeah, it was a very strange game. Not only was too much going on the court, I was like, I don't know what kind of highlights we're going to be able to play because it was just so commanding. But yeah definitely it was also that element of, you know, are we on not borrowed time, but a little bit of last day of school of like, I hope we get to see each other again.
Right.
And although we kind of started to formulate that it was going to be Kings versus Warriors. One more dance here, at least at Golden One Center.
Yeah, because there was a thought, like, I mean, if you went negative going into the day, it's like, oh, wait, this could be the last game at home this year. I mean, it could have been if things went wrong and Kings fell to 10 and they were going to the Warriors or something tomorrow.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, no, I didn't really have that thought going into it. But then it's like, I guess that is a scenario. And
yeah.
Kings avoided that. They do have one home game, and we'll see if they have more than that after.
It's going to be so incredible. I hope everyone stays so safe and has so much fun tomorrow because it's going to be intense.
Yeah, a good kind of intensity. All right, let's go to cut number two.
Cut number two.
It could have played out a number of different ways today, and
played out as it did, so we'll get ready for Sacramento.
I mean, I'm sure you've kind of, I know there's been some type of playoff scouting behind the scenes. What are your early thoughts on, the fact that it will be Kings in an elimination game in like 48 hours?
Well, it'd be a great atmosphere. We were there last year, obviously, and, they'll have their crowd behind them, and it's nice to not get on a plane. So we'll take the bus up there tomorrow and, have a day to prepare and be ready to go.
A team that decided the last couple of games that they're comfortable with themselves. Yesterday they said, yeah, we'd like to win. We'd probably like a little help, but we're not going to play Steph. We're not going to play Draymond. We feel that rest will be more important. They probably thought that Sacramento would win, and that did happen. And, if something else went their way, well, then they still got the rest and they got some luck. I mean, there was a chance, also keep in mind, if the Kings had won and the Lakers lost, that the Warriors would have caught the Lakers. And, they had the tiebreaker over the Lakers, so they would have hosted L.A. in that scenario. The Lakers could have fallen to 10th. But the Lakers won, took care of business. Warriors didn't have to put any stress on Steph or Draymond. A couple games ago, they sat Clay and I think it was Wiggins, so a few guys. And look, these two teams have played four times. We're going to do a deep dive into this series. Regular season this year, four times, three games decided by 1 point. I mean, the season opener was the largest win by the Warriors, and it was a very competitive game, the home opener, I should say. But the last time these two teams played was late January. The Warriors have been the hottest team since late January next to the Celtics, though they never caught anybody. They stayed in 10th. I mean, they just couldn't catch anybody. That's how good the West was. And as limping into the end as the Kings were, I guess the Warriors technically, record-wise, caught the Kings, but the Kings had the tiebreaker because of work they'd done throughout the year. And so looking at the previous four matchups, I don't even know that it matters because the Kings are different. Certainly no Monk and no Herder. Keon Ellis in the four games this year has played a total of 5 minutes. So he's a huge factor now. Davion's playing more. And for the Warriors, look, last year the nemesis was Looney. They don't even barely play him anymore. They now play Trayce Jackson-Davis. Wiggins is back healthy. Klay's back in the starting lineup. Draymond's back. GP2. Oh, man, it's going to be intense. We got previews of it. We got more on that coming up, but let's get to cut number three.
Cut number three.
One of the greatest feelings in golf. Walking up that hill, being greeted, knowing you're going to be wearing a green jacket. His stardom confirmed.
Well, that is Jim Nantz talking about Scottie Scheffler, winner of the Masters, one of the favorites to win it, does it again, second time in 3 years. The big storyline with Scheffler going into the weekend was he had said famously that he's anticipating the birth of his first child, and if it was happening, he was going to leave with the lead. And there was some talk like, well, he also said, my wife probably won't tell me if that's happening. So I'm like, wait a minute, they need to get on the same page there. but he made it through, got the Masters championship. And incredible weekend for him. It was a sign-off to Vern Lundquist as well, legendary golf announcer. And Scheffler just kind of cements his name in there amongst the golf elite. And the golf's first major of the year is complete, and Scottie Scheffler donning the green jacket. We've got more on that this weekend. We've got a bunch more on the Kings. We will break here, come back, talk about Game 82, a rout of the Blazers to set up the Kings and the Warriors. We'll look back at yesterday's win. That's straight ahead here on Sacktown Sports. Good morning, Jason Ross. Simone hanging out this morning with you here on Sacktown Sports. Of course, our guys Styles and Watkins will be by a little bit later in the show. Already seeing Alan on social media just going through it. He's got to deal with that on, like, people still assuming he likes the Warriors, and here they are, Warriors and Kings.
I thought he was going to be upset because of the baby races. There was a baby race yesterday.
There was, and finally we had
a clear winner.
A dominant performance. Yes. That thing was wrapped up quickly. What was up with that? That one baby almost got up to walk. I was like, is that legal?
If I ever decide to have children, I will strategically plan to have a baby available to crawl by that time, and I will come in there and we will wreck house.
I feel like you're going to be practicing. The baby.
The
race.
Baby? Oh, okay.
No, not that.
I was like,
well,
no.
I meant with, because I think even the guy that got interviewed, the family that won, they're like, oh, what have you done to prepare? He's like, training
oh, yeah.
every day in the
down
hallway.
The hallway. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We're like, going to be doing reps. Apparently, I mean, Style
work?
Said that they were working at it, and that baby froze. Yeah, I think you have to do something.
Moment.
We have to do something as far as like noise to, you know, to emulate the stadium and to not let them freeze up with how loud it is. And I'm not condoning damaging anyone's ears, but, you know, we do have to take that into account.
Is that like football teams that are getting ready for a loud environment? They play a bunch
exactly,
of music.
Exactly.
It's almost just blasting music, getting the baby trained. But it was a good race. There was there was one baby that started out right away and then kind of just like, I'm going to sit down here for a little bit.
Yeah.
Was that the one that got up and ultimately won, or was there just that other one later that just took
I
off?
I think that one just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Away,
I was like, I'm not messing around. I'll spot you a lead. But then it was like Tyreek Hill and then just deuces.
Right Cheetah.
Yeah. Just passing fools. Interesting day yesterday for those of you that checked out Kings basketball, whether you watched it, listened to the great G-Man, or had a chance to attend it. It was, you know, the way the season has gone, there were a portion of people that would hear throughout the day that, oh, no. And you all, everybody gets triggered. So we got a chance to talk to Travis, the Blazer radio play-by-play voice. He said, hey, just to let you guys, G-Man and I were kind of sitting up in our location way early, way before pregame. And he came back and goes, well, you guys won't have any trouble today. And I think G-Man and I both looked at him the same way, like, that you know this season is gone. But he said, look, all of our veterans are out, and I'm getting word that Scoot Henderson's probably not going to play. He was honestly, we're not going to try to lose, but it would be better for the Blazers to lose. Like, they've got some lottery concerns, and they would rather have the highest pick possible, and or at least the opportunity. So, and he goes, literally, I think we only have seven. And then he came back and said, we just signed somebody today that's going to be here to be our eighth player. And they just didn't have it. I mean, they just didn't have it. The Kings made sure they didn't have it, which is what they needed to do. And, you know, Sacramento won the home finale. I think it was important to do that. It ended up being pretty easy work. Let's hear a call, at least from the G-Man. And keep in mind, we still later, 7:45, the Jiffy Lube drive of the game. If you heard that and identify that, you'll be a winner of the $100 gift card at 7:45. But here's a little sample of how it went yesterday and how smooth sailing it was for the Kings.
Here's Demodis in the paint. Kick-out pass goes to Ellis. Swings to Keegan. Murray now to Sabonis. One on the clock. Has to launch a long two, and he hits it from the left angle. Didn't panic. Very composed. And he hit about a 21-footer out on the left angle.
You know, I do stats there for G-Man while helping out the broadcast. At one point, I'm like, wait, I'm doing some serious math. I'm trying to go, they're up 45? Yeah.
Light work.
It was light work. Sabonis did not get the triple-double, though. It was, I think, the eighth time this year that he missed a triple-double by either one assist or one rebound. Generally, it's probably assists. And he was dominant. Fox made sure it was over. He cruised. He had those back-to-back-to-back steals at one point. Ends up, by the way, the steals leader for the 2023-24 season steals per game. Sabonis ends up as the rebound leader. And, you know, a season that I think had some many frustrations for people, understandably. And, you know, I know they are more injured, let's say, than last year. I still think big picture, they were relatively healthy. I mean, right now it's the worst time to have two key contributors out in Herter, who's done for the year, and Monk, who I keep hearing is progressing faster than they thought. But it's like, can faster than they thought someone be tomorrow?
On the Aaron Rodgers.
I know. Could you imagine the pop tomorrow if it's like there's kind of like a little scuttlebutt? I mean, it's not going to be the case, but then all of a sudden, like, Malik comes out of the tunnel, tears off like his what was he wearing?
Not some tearaways.
Yeah, his own tearaways from like his own personal sweat collection, and there he is in uniform. That place would go bonkers.
Erupt. Yeah. It's just, yeah. Don't get me started.
I know. It's too bad he's out at the most important time. And let's remember the original evaluation, by the way. When they say it's going better than they had hoped, the original evaluation was 4 to 6 weeks being reevaluated. It's been just over two. So, I mean, I think the totally uneducated opinion. I mean, I guess it's an educated based on years of doing this, but with no intel from anybody, I mean, I think best case scenario, if you somehow got through this week, the first round, fortunately, in some sense, takes about 2 weeks if you get all the way through seven games. Maybe there's somewhere in there, maybe. But look, we're worried about tomorrow right now. And the Kings are going to have to find a way to beat a nemesis. I mean, the Warriors. And it got set up with the win yesterday, game 82, taking out the Blazers. And, you know, Sacramento, I will say this. I don't know what that last win does for them, you know, just in their overall morale, because I would say at the finish, they have had some of the most difficult losses. I mean, we look at that last road trip where they lost two 20-point leads. They had a lead and technically kind of possession for a half a second in Boston in the final 10 seconds and didn't win. Come home, you lose a game where you played pretty well against the Pelicans but also felt you couldn't beat them. And then you lost a game you gave away to the Suns. And so that's kind of how they were going in. Yesterday was a no-doubter, but I think they needed to see that. I think they needed to have that feeling. I think they needed to enjoy that situation. And let's get a little perspective on that as post-game Harrison Barnes was able to visit with the G-Man. And, I mean, again, Sacramento was in this position. They needed the victory. And let's hear Harrison Barnes with Gary Gerald.
The Falcon, Harrison Barnes, has slipped on a headset after playing in his another season, Harrison, where you played and started in every game. How proud are you of that run?
Season, definitely thankful to be able to be out here every night with this team, for this city. So keep going in the postseason.
Well, this was a must-win scenario. There have been so many of these of late. It's nice to be able to catch your breath. You knew going in against a very shorthanded and injury-ravaged club that it should be a decisive day, and it turns out that way. Is there anything in particular that stood out to you in the performance in achieving this win?
You know, I think our biggest thing tonight was this is our last tune-up before we were able to go out and hit the postseason, so we wanted to come out here strong, play together, play hard, and get a win.
And stay healthy, or as healthy as you can in the process. I hearken now to the fact that it's not formally official, but it's all but official. You're going to be hosting the Warriors on Tuesday night in this building. I look back at, I think it was the last game you played against the Warriors. You had a career-high 39 points. You remember that one?
I think the biggest thing for us, G-Man, is just going out and just playing the way we want to play. You know, we know we need to win two games, get to the postseason, so you know, that's our focus, and we'll take it one game at a time.
Former legend Chris Webber is going to light the beam. Harrison, we congratulate you on the run of consecutive games that just continues, and here's hoping it goes on and on and on, and here's to success in the postseason starting Tuesday night against Golden State. Thank you so much for your contributions.
Absolutely, Jim. I appreciate you.
I mean, as much as the up and downs that Harrison Barnes has had, you do have to appreciate that, being there every night, being able to be there for the Kings. He did have that 39-point game against the Warriors, a career high, earlier this year. And, again, consistency, I think, is what – he's there every game. I think we all would appreciate a little more consistency with his performance, as would he. But here he is. He's going to have to be big tomorrow. Fox, Sabonis are going to have to be special. Keegan Murray, everybody. But I also think it's one of those games, when we get into this a little bit more later today and certainly all of tomorrow, but I think Mike Brown's playing those five starters heavy minutes. I wouldn't mess around with deep rotations. It's that five, Lyles, Davion, if you need Alex Len, but that's it. And sorry to some of the younger guys, like, this is the group. You got one game. You can wait till Friday if you survive. If not, season's like, it's not a time to tinker. It's a time to go with the best group you've got. And they've got to give it everything they have. Break time for us. When we come back, it's safer out time. We've got that straight ahead and so much more as we get you ready for the Kings and Warriors tomorrow in the play-in, the 9-10 game. We've got all that straight ahead here on Sactown Sports. All right, it is time for Safer Out. Again, a reminder, a lot more on this Kings-Warriors play-in game tomorrow, 7 o'clock, of course, right here on Sactown Sports. The great G-Man will have the call. We get some Warriors perspective with John Dickinson. He will join us at 8:30. Frankie Cardicelli, our Sactown Sports Kings insider, will help preview that game as well coming up at 9. But let's wrap up this first hour, Simone, with a little safe or out question number one.
Question number one. It says maybe Sacramento will be getting a better team in the A's than people thought. Safe or out.
I know. It's too bad Dave's not here this morning. He's just been dumping on the A's. If they come here, I don't want to see Sacramento across their chest. Well, we know they're going to be just the A's when they're here. I said, they might be better than you think. I'm telling you, they might be better than you think. And look, there's a long baseball season ahead. I mean, a long, long way. But people are like, to be the worst team in baseball. They're barely going to win 40 games. All that could still be true. But right now, today, here are those A's at 7-9. One game out of first in the American League West. That's not a team you want. Well, no, ideally they should stay in Oakland. But if they're coming here, that's a team you can support. They're not the worst team in baseball. Let's start to list the teams worse than them in baseball. The Twins, the White Sox, the Mariners and Astros from their own division, the Nationals, the Marlins, the Cardinals, the Giants.
The
Rockies. There's a list. It's not one team. There's quite a few teams, and it's 7-9. They've won a few more games than I think a lot of people thought. And look, there's still a long way to go, but they're competing, and that's all you want. So I'd say safe at this rate. They are getting a better team than a lot of people
thought. I just want to add really quickly, did you see over the weekend? This is actually, now that I say it, pretty unresearched, but I saw on social media that they were trademarking.
We should say then it's official.
Exactly. Yeah. This is legit. Trademarking Sacramento Athletics?
Yes. I think that and the website properties, all that. And I you know, some people are like, is that mean they are going to change their name? I also just wonder if they're protecting them.
Right, so correct.
Probably more of that. But again, if they get here, there is a chance that could happen. There's a chance that some, without them being here, there's no baseball talk here besides what we do have in the Rivercats. So we'll see where that ultimately goes. There's still some moving parts, as we know. Vegas is not locked in stone. I think there's a lot of potential potholes there. But for now, the A's off to a decent start at 7-9. All right, question two.
Safe or out?
Blake Snell has struggled in his first two outings with the Giants. Safe or out? San Francisco Giants fans should be concerned.
I would say this is out in this sense, not concerned with Blake Snell, but concerned with their team. Overall, it's 6-10. They've had some tough losses. Blake Snell, I didn't see him pitch yesterday for obvious things. Kings were playing, but the first pitching outing he had, played the Nationals, and it was his first game. He had the delayed start with signing so late, not really much of a spring training. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Arm will continue to develop, and I would anticipate the two-time Cy Young Award winner will pitch better. But what I did not know, as someone that has not regularly watched Blake Snell, boy, does he get deep into the count with a lot of people. That first match, or first outing, I should say, for him, he was basically a three-ball count on every batter, every time. And so the pitch load and the defense just waiting and waiting and waiting around. I would say for anybody that's played any kind of baseball, if you have a pitcher that works slowly, works long counts, it's tough on the defense. I mean, it's a sport where you already kind of, there's not a lot of action when ball's put into play. But if you're waiting on, this is a 9-pitch at bat, because he's a grinder, though. He knows how to pitch. He can get down 3-0 and just battle back and still not be afraid to challenge hitters. So he knows how to pitch. He's too gifted. I wouldn't be worried about him. I'd just be worried about overall, just about kind of everything getting going and getting an offensive spark. I believe in Bob Melvin. I do believe they've got a couple of nice pieces there, but they still may be missing a few things. And really, the last couple of years, they haven't been able to add that truly significant offensive franchise-type player that they've been looking for, right? They tried to get Shohei. They tried for Aaron Judge. They tried for Bryce Harper. They're in the mix in all those guys, but in that, it doesn't matter if you finish second or fifth if he's not on your team, right? They're somewhere else. And so right now, slow start for the Giants at 6-10. Snell, Webb, I think that will be a good part of the future of the Giants, and even in this season, they'll have some good runs together, but overall, I wouldn't be that worried about Blake Snell. All right, third one on Safe or Out.
Safe or Out.
The New York Mets retired Dwight's number 16 jersey over the weekend. Safe or Out. Is Dwight a classic case of what could have been?
Yeah, that's safe. That's a guy who came on to baseball like just a lightning bolt, was transforming the sport, and then had different things go wrong. Obviously, he had a drug issue. He was a really good pitcher, had great career numbers, but You know, Simone, I was thinking about this question in this sense. Would you rather be someone that has like a long, maybe let's word it unremarkable career, but someone that played in a perfect, like baseball people can play 20 years. So like a 15 to 20 year career where maybe there's an all-star appearance, but just
Daddy.
Not a Hall of Famer, but just, hey, wow, I played the sport for 15 years. Or be on the scene and be a dude or be a like the person for a couple of years, but at the end they're like, yeah, they were really good, but probably could have been a little bit more. Like, he left something out there for people.
Right. No, I take longevity. Yeah.
Yeah. And Dwight Gooden, there was a time, man, that was a guy that was must watch. He was such an amazing pitcher early on in his career, was doing dominant things for the Mets. And being in New York City, and he and Daryl Strawberry got caught up in things that, you know, some of the temptations can get the best of them when you're young and you're gifted and you're making tons of money in a city like New York. Man, that would be tough, too, to be a famous person with access. Well, I guess, I mean, everybody has some opportunities there, but just things can go the wrong way for you. But I'm glad he's getting his shine. Good for him, good for the Mets, because there was a time where Dwight Gooden, again, Doc Gooden was the guy to watch, was lethal on the mound. As a kid, one of the things I could not wait to see, and it's still one of my favorite sports memories, in about 85, 86, somewhere in there, wanting to go to the Dodgers and Mets to watch Fernando Valenzuela versus Doc Gooden, and got a chance to see both those guys who were both young. There was Fernando Mania going on in L.A., but Doc Gooden was coming in, and you could hear the pop of the glove when he was warming up, just how he was bringing the heat, and people couldn't hit him, people couldn't hit Fernando, different style pitchers, different time for baseball at that time, and it was kind of must-see, certainly in person, so that was a great memory. So there you go. There's a little safe or out. Before we get to the next hour, Simone, you and I are in the break. We're talking about this weekend was another new episode of Saturday Night Live. You're a fan of the show. I'm a fan of the show. It was Ryan Gosling this week, who's been on, I think, two or three times as a host.
I think, well, was that the whole skit from last week? Hasn't he been on a bunch of times?
I think so, but he wasn't officially, that was the bit on, he was not really a five-timer, but was given a jacket and something. It's been two, maybe three.
What?
But he is good. He's very multi-talented.
Yes.
But he also, they break him a lot, and he laughs a lot.
A lot.
And sometimes it's like, oh, I get through it. But other times, it's kind of charming with him, I think. It's funny.
So endearing. I also had to educate my roommate. He didn't know who Ryan is married to.
Oh, really?
Google.
Oh, so like
Eva.
In the one skit where
yes,
they
exactly.
The
I was like,
and,
get it? Yeah. Because he's married to Eva Mendes?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know who that is, Simone. I was like, we're going to have to Google it, Kyle.
Yeah.
Google it.
But like for sports fans, there was a guest appearance by Caitlin Clark.
Yes!
And Michael Che is pretty famously on Weekend Update, just roasted women's sports, yes. Women's basketball. And it's, I mean, part of, at this point now, I feel like it's a bit, and they've had fun with that. But she was a great sport. She came on, and then she had him read some jokes that she allegedly wrote, whether or not
allegedly.
She did or not, I'm sure she didn't. But
wink, wink.
I thought she did great. I thought that was a really good segment.
That was fantastic. Yeah. I've seen him, on many different, podcasts, other different shows, SNL. So I'm glad. I thought their compilation was going to be comprehensive of, like, everything from
yes.
everywhere. But it was funny that it was just from SNL, and I remembered all of them. I was like, I remember when he went there. And
well, the one was just, I think, a week ago, talking about how many people watched the UConn-Iowa game, like 14 million, too, breaking the last record of 14.2 million people, and it's like, man. But she was a good sport.
It was a good sport. Let me tell you about one thing before we get on break. There's a big TikTok trend right now where girlfriends or partners are asking their partners if they can beat Caitlin Clark 1v1, and it'll tell you a lot about what you know about your other person. So, say, my boyfriend, I go up to him. Hey, do you think you could beat Caitlin Clark 1v1 and just receive their answer?
Right.
And you'll know what kind of person you're dealing with. If they're like, yeah, I think I could do it. Kyle said a very humble no.
Good. Kyle said no.
I was so proud of him.
Generally,
proud of him.
What I think I've experienced is, and I don't know where the age cutoff is, because I would have put Kyle in the age group that would have said, oh, I could do that.
I'm like, He does say he's in the top bracket of basketball players in Sacramento. So, take it with a grain of salt.
Okay,
but
we might have to revisit that.
he did humble himself and say that absolutely not. It was a quick, swift no.
It was an odd conversation. We actually had this come up yesterday, believe it or not, Simone, before the game. We were talking about, because it kind of generated from Portland playing basically anybody and a guy they just signed.
Yeah.
We said, and I'll put you in this question then.
Sure.
So if you were given 30 minutes of game action yesterday in the Kings Blazers game for either team, do you think you record any stats?
No. I'm just a body.
Well, so what we discussed, besides the people that go, I would get 14. I'm like, okay, relax. I was trying to get down to the point where I think there's probably the best chance to get a stat is, well, one, I don't think anybody would cover any of us. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
So you might get a shot attempt. You might. I mean, you might make it. You might be lucky. But I thought the more realistic one is if you were somewhere on the defensive end and the ball just came your way and you grabbed it. Like, I got a rebound. It just came right to me.
Sure.
So I got a rebound. But, I mean, are you getting an assist as possible of like, oh, I threw the ball to De'Aaron. De'Aaron scored. Hey, assist me. But I don't know. There are people, I mean, unless you've, like, really played at, like, a high level. We're talking about people that are, okay, maybe you shot baskets in your driveway or something like that. Or, like, you just haven't played.
Right.
I don't think people appreciate how great professional athletes are.
I agree. I don't think people really know to, not to sound like, you know, this person, but I don't think you really know until you're down there on the court, seeing how big the bodies are. You know, it is it's a different animal down there.
I was saying the story yesterday. There are two things that were really eye-opening to me, and I'll do this in our final a couple of seconds. I remember in the early 90s kind of getting into this profession after graduating, mid-90s, let's say, and the Bulls were coming in. And it's like, I hear the Bulls. Like, oh, little Steve Kerr, because he looks so tiny on TV. I'm like, he's 6'4". When I got
there
and saw him, like, I go,
oh,
but he looks so small on TV. He does, but he's 6'4". And then I was at a golf tournament, the celebrity tournament up in Edgewood. And it was after a playoffs where I think John Elway, there was some humongous defensive lineman that in the playoff game, like, just grabbed him and threw him around like a rag doll. And I'm trying to get John Elway on the show. And John Elway, I'm standing next to him, I'm like, he's 6'4", 225, 230. I'm like, someone threw this man around like he was 5 feet tall, 100 pounds? Like, okay, we need to appreciate how much of physical freaks these people are and talented, too. All right, first hour in the books. Set next hour ahead. We got three for Madness, but when we come back, the playoff field is set, kind of, for the NBA. What it looks like so far, the other playing games, including the Kings, we'll look at what the postseason looks like ahead next on Sactown Sports.